It needs to be safe to just, no matter what level, whether it's your manager, your skip level, it needs to be safe to ask questions and challenge what you see other people say, regardless of level. I hate that.
Welcome to AB Testing Podcast, your modern testing podcast. Your hosts, Alan and Brent, will be here to guide you through topics on testing, leadership, agile, and anything else that comes to mind. Now, on with the show.
Welcome back to the AB Testing Podcast. I'm here with Brent.
Howdy, y'all.
Yeah,
long episode, time.
Yeah,
no
it has
listen.
Been a long time. We took a little break. Yeah. So, a couple things going on. One, Zencastr is working. That's cool.
Yeah, I think you beat your record on getting
yeah,
it to
gonna
do what
we're gonna
you want
to
do.
A little bit of a shorter podcast. We had stuff to catch up on. We're talking, but when I slogged into Zencastr, and Zencastr, I love you, and I should say that because you work most of the time, and I don't pay for you, as I personify Zencastr. I guess this has been true since March. I just never noticed before, but we do have a 2-hour recording limit per month, which since we only record every other week, I think we're probably good. So I'm not going to worry about it too much. I just noticed it today. I never noticed the time remaining counter. We have 119 minutes left to record in July. So I guess as long as we don't do a bunch of bonus episodes, long stuff, we should be in good shape. But yeah, it's good to be back. Took some breaks. Got stuff going on. It's summertime in Seattle. How you doing with the heat, Brent?
Oh, so I have AC at home.
Same. It's not on right now. Today's been a little bit better.
I'll just share it this way. My wife and I have a bit of a disagreement around what is an appropriate temperature for the AC.
For me, wives are like cats, and they seem to like things about 5 to 10 degrees warmer than I do.
Yeah, plus one. Right. So this is one of the things. I have a Sensi.
Okay.
That's the temperature. I'm showing Alan the temperature.
It says 7.4.
Yeah, that's the temperature of my house. You also notice right there, the three-letter word. Says off. Last 2 days, I have come home and the temperature of the house has been above 80. And I've been now at a point where I don't even talk about it. I just go upstairs. There's an app for that. And I open up the app and I say air conditioner on 74. But 74 is my max tolerable range. I have noticed that
it's about the same for me. I would prefer it slightly cooler.
I would too.
But I can't, if it's above 74, I actually can't work.
I can work.
I can't keep my concentration up. The heat gets me.
The thing that bothers me is, and I say 74, and I think that's a bit of a mistake, but I have noticed, particularly in the last week, that if it's above 73, I can't sleep.
Oh, same. So, yeah, our bed is me, you know, with the window open, with no blankets on my wife next to me with a blanket plus an extra blanket on her.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter what time of year. It's ridiculous.
That is crazy talk. Like the other day, I came home and it was 80 in the house. Right. And it was 85 outside. And I'm like, what the hell? She's like, just open a window. Why would I do that? It's hotter outside than inside. I don't want to heat my house. I want to cool it down.
True, 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 true. All right. So that's the podcast for today, everybody. Thank you. I'm Alan. He's Brent. And well, no.
How temperature
works. We're going to do a short podcast today.
Yes.
And a couple things for, I have two topics and we'll do, I think the order I put them in Slack is probably good. And then what do we got to know? Oh, these are both these topics are open to drive some discussion. So if you'd like to discuss these topics, give us more things to think about, go to moderntesting.org where there's a link that usually works. And if it doesn't, you can email me and tell me I'm stupid and I'll fix it. To join our Slack group at oneofthe3.slack.com. And I can tell you right now that we are driving towards 1,000. We have 905 members in the Slack group. And not all of those are active, but a chunk of them are. There's activity almost every day.
Yep.
You can do things there like, you know, bonus material. One, you can just give us, you can yell at us there and we'll listen to it. You can give tacos. I posted photos from my hike last weekend. All kinds of great stuff, but it's a good part to be part of the community and tell us what's going on. So that's going on. I don't know. Do you want to get into the topics?
Yeah.
Okay. So the first one, this is something that I see once in a while. I just was kind of curious on your thoughts, Brent. We'll have a little bit of discussion around. I think the second one's a more interesting topic, but I'm going to call this the age old issue of premature escalation.
Okay.
And what this happened this week. There's a little bit of a fire drill on Wednesday when I got back, and I'm not going to go into the full story to protect those who must remain innocent, but there was a thing going on with a vendor, and it was just, it's, look, in software, writing code, the technical part is easy. It's the people stuff that's hard. And basically, the story is we had an issue with a timeline, and we wanted to figure out what we could do with it to make it work better for us. And the end ended up being a non-issue. It doesn't matter. But someone in the meeting pulled out premature escalation. And what they did was, we are still very much in the diplomatic portion of this discussion where we're trying to figure out what mitigations are. What we want to go investigate, next steps, etc. And they jumped right to the I'm going to tell dad card. You know what I'm talking about, Brent?
I call it the mission from God. Yeah, it's essentially, I have authority on God from God to tell you what to do. And if you do not make me happy, then you will be on slide number one for the next God update deck.
Yeah, it was interesting. It was, I thought things were progressing well, and someone jumped in with the, well, if this doesn't get solved, this is going to go to dad, and dad being some level of upper management, and which is a card that you can, it's not the one, you never play that card. You never play that card in the first hand. Two, often, if you're going to, we'll just equate this, we'll just see if I can keep a metaphor of some sort of card game going, yep. Is one, you don't play it in the first round.
You got to know when to hold them.
You may even play it in the background. You may not even need to tell. I mean, the fact that it was a, I was going to call it a thinly veiled threat, but I'll leave off the thinly veiled part.
Yeah.
That threatening was to tell dad is just, to me, is cringy. It's a cringy way to, it's a cringy method of diplomacy.
It's not diplomacy at all, right? I don't know if do you ever read Getting to Yes?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, very much. Yep.
It's a perfect example of what's known as a positional argument when it comes to negotiation. I don't care what happens to you. I want to win, right? You're basically trying to work out what's the definition of a win-win scenario, and all of a sudden you have somebody who's losing patience and just goes for the throat on a win-lose.
Yeah, yeah. Right?
And now you have people defensive, which makes it even harder to get to a win-win.
So it's an interesting leadership trait that I realize it's a I don't know how I learned it, and I did this at some point too. I was, you know, I grew up being mentored and led by type A assholes at Microsoft. So I'm sure I did this at some point, but at some point I realized, some later point, I have learned and realized that the high road's going to work 99% of the time. And just having a discussion, being cordial, being this in it together attitude of problem solving is going to work far better than trying to put a thread in there to try and put, like, I motivate, again, 99% of the time with carrots and 1% with sticks. Building shared problems, building shared solutions for those problems, or shared understanding of the problems and shared solutions of those problems, for me just works much better than this weird I'm not going to call it political because political is not bad. A lot of times the political, no. it's just influence. Call it the mission from God. I'm going to call it premature escalation. Interesting. It came up. I've been thinking about it all week because I thought the situation was kind of cringy and just weird. So whenever something doesn't sit right with me, I can't help but reflect on why does this feel weird? So I just wanted to share that with you and kind of get your thoughts.
I pay active attention to people who take that tact, right? They're basically willing to, in a political war, right? They're going to go straight to the nuke. I have a habit when someone tries to do that against me, and I'm like, look, I have a one-on-one with that guy every other week. Like, let's call him right now if that's important to you. And you can be the one to inform him that even though you are paid at extremely senior level salary, right, you need to go to a CVP in order to work out this part of the business that you're supposedly accountable for. Like, I don't see the reason why we can't work it through. I feel like you're threatening. If that's what you want to do. Actually, the other thing to do in today's environment is just call them out and say, I feel like you're threatening me. Right? Because just those words are fighting words in a world where everyone's sort of anti-toxic environments.
Yeah, so this, I want to dovetail
it, it's
this.
Like, okay, you're going to go to the executive. At the same time, I'm talking to HR. Like, let's see what happens.
Yeah, so it really comes down to culture. And you know, we've talked about the cultures I try and have on my teams. And what's interesting is, you know, I'm not going to talk about any specifics of work because I've perhaps signed things that said I wouldn't, but culturally what I want to do, whether I worked at Subway making sandwiches or at a broadcast company that happened to have software teams, regardless, there's a culture I want to try and build of, it's the opposite of telling dad. I want a culture where telling dad doesn't matter. And I'm very much, you know, Ronnie Kohavi talked forever when he was at Microsoft and since then about the HIPPO, the highest paid person's opinion and why it doesn't matter.
Right. This is
where a lot of the data driven decision making comes from. But also, I remind my teams, I'll be very generic here, all the time that I may spout off ideas, I may have thoughts on how to do things, but my way is rarely the right way. It's just one of many opinions, regardless of my hierarchy and regardless of my title.
No, it's. I agree. I view my job, right? Part of my job is to make decisions when we're bottlenecked. Okay. However, like the definition of bottleneck in my worldview, and I think you share with this. This is, for some reason, my team is unable to make this decision, right? Whether it be lack of experience or, yes, right, they're not certain what the trade-off is, right? But I really view my long-term goal with the team is to have them understand the principles by which I want decisions being made and then let them go.
Yes. Yes. Right. And that's a conversation I've had very much, that decisions should be made as close to the people closest to the work as possible. Here's the hard one. I want to be challenged. I can give this an example scenario today. I posted something and someone said, what did you mean by this? Basically. And I said, I thought I meant this. I said, that's not right. Not private DM. And I said, can you please clarify, go ahead and clarify what I wrote or question what I wrote in the other conversation? And they said something that lets me know that I still have work to do, something to the effect of, I've been taught not to oppose my manager in public channels. And So something for me to work on, because I actually want that. I want to be, have a fancy title and I may have hierarchy, but I need to be challenged, not because I'm going to go beat you up, but it needs to be safe to no matter what level, whether it's your manager, your skip level, it needs to be safe to ask questions and challenge what you see other people say, regardless of level.
There's different levels of challenge, right? It's don't be a douchebag.
No, obviously you do it respectfully.
Right.
I love it when people tell me I'm wrong because I know they're right. But when they do it respectfully, they don't just call me dumb, but so many times, like I really, really value, because it gives me a chance to learn. I also know that a couple things happen. One is an example of the culture I want to have. So I feel like, okay, they're getting it, but also then other people see it and the next person isn't afraid to challenge. And it's hard and it takes time, but it's so important for people to feel empowered.
It is. The worst, you need them to have enough trust to be able to speak their mind so that you kind of understand what additional changes you need to make to your culture, right? I'm thinking through the two things that you told me so far, right? This inappropriate escalation.
Premature escalation.
And I have been taught to not challenge my manager in public. And I'm like, okay, yeah, it feels right. Right now I'm walking away with, all right, there's a big opportunity there for Alan because I feel like he is potentially in a big command and control environment that needs to be
forward. I am not, but there are people, I would say I'm working with people who have been brought up that way. And I am very, I mean, this is my job as a pointy-haired senior manager, right? My job isn't to go implement a bunch of Terraform. My job isn't to go tell a bunch of people smarter than me what to do. My entire job is to create an environment where these people can be successful doing this stuff. And I 100% believe that a transparent and psychologically safe environment is the best way for them to do that. So that's what I'm going to work on.
Yeah, in my view, it's sort of set the direction and then get out of the way.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And that comes from, there's this writer whose name is going to come to me, wrote The Leader's Guide to Radical Management. And I've forgotten his name. And he wrote The Age of Agile. And I still don't remember his name, but in The Leader's Guide to Radical Management, he's talking about very early on in Agile. Maybe not that early, but in the early 2000s, he is talking about how Agile applies not just to software teams, but in the way teams need to work. This is before Reese wrote his stuff. Just he really saw something exciting coming. And in that book, in The Leader's Guide to Radical Management, one of the phrases I took away from that, which has been paraphrased in my mind over the two decades since I read it, is that the leader's job is to, give people a framework they can work in and then get out of their way.
Stephen Denning.
See, together we can accomplish so much. You can look up the book while I'm talking and then you mispronounce the name. Then I can correct you because it gives me enough information.
Perfect. Teamwork right there.
Yes. Yes. Hey, I got another topic, a different direction. So I don't know if you caught my last Substack post.
Is that the Five for Friday? Because I actually read that today.
No, my Substack is the one I did last Saturday. Now I have to go on a tangent. So once upon a time, I used to write a blog haphazardly. I did it for years and years. My very first blog, which is still up on whatever blogs.msdn.com came, says, I'm not a blogger. It's the title of my very first blog post. And this is like in 2004, three. And I just wanted a way to engage with the Windows CE community. And why did I get into this story? Now I have to finish it. And then I ended up blogging more and more, and sometimes good, sometimes bad, mostly bad. But I wanted to get better at writing, and then I ended up writing a book, and I got a little better at writing, or a better blog post, and eventually moved those blogs to angryweasel.com or blog there. And then eventually I got too busy to blog at angryweasel.com. And then I got inspired by Tim Ferriss and his 5-Bullet Friday, and about 3 years ago began doing 5 for Fridays on angryweasel.com. And then kind of the end of 2022, I was thinking, you know what, I miss writing, I want to blog again. And I thought, well, you know what, I'm going to commit to writing a long story here, I'm going to skip most of it, I'm going to commit to writing a blog post every week on angryweasel.substack.com. And I have so far, from middle of December until now, I have written a blog post every week, usually on Saturday, sometimes Sunday. Last week I wrote it on Thursday and set it to auto post on Saturday. And but so far so good. So I've done about half a year, so that's like 28 regular weekly posts there. I'll write another one tomorrow or Sunday, probably Sunday this weekend. I have some plans tomorrow.
I did read this one.
So, but the gist is, I was revisiting something I put in. It's the diffusion of innovation curve from Crossing the Chasm, which I originally posted the very first time I talked about modern testing at a conference at a test bash in, I don't remember what year, 2016, I think. And my hypothesis there was that modern testing, or, and again, modern testing isn't that modern, not a lot about testing, but sometimes it is. Depends on the kind of testing and your definition of modern. But at the time I gave that talk at a testing conference, I was a little freaked out, thought I'd get a lot of anger, but they let me give the talk on what it was like to have a team that didn't have any testers or may not have the need for a dedicated testing specialist. And what I was pleasantly surprised at that talk and at many talks afterwards was that people came up to me, multiple people came up to me and said, thank you for giving a name to what we're already doing. Oh, this is actually, and again, it's what Brent and I had seen. We know we're in a little bit of a bubble, but the bubble was bigger, happily, much bigger than we thought. And here we are 7 years after that talk, and a lot of people are still freaked out by this idea of delivering quality software without dedicated testing specialists. And you and I both know hundreds, if not thousands, of companies do this. And it's crossing that, it's getting over that hump. And we've talked about this a lot before, but I want to talk about it in a slightly different context. One of the best testing conferences remaining is coming up in a month or two, which is the Agile Testing Days in Potsdam. There every year. It's always great speakers. This year, no exception. Good speakers, good content. It's well put together. I've never been there, but every year I follow it on social media and read the reports. I look at what talks are there. And again, all the talks are good. But what's interesting, because Brent, when you and I first started talking about like this thing that became modern testing, it was in reaction to watching teams become agile.
Right.
And watching what happened when they moved quicker and could get data and feedback, and testers doing what they did before just slowed them down. So what, you know, we talked about what does that change? And we talk about delivery, which is really what modern testing principles are. So long preamble aside, but I want to get your thoughts on it. When I look at the conference talks for Agile Testing Days, and again, I think they're all very good. This is not a dig on them, but they're all one step back from that edge I talked about 7 years ago at, you know, the innovation I talked about 7 years ago at Test Bash, in that they're all about having dedicated testers on the team, testers writing automation versus developers. Everything's about what testers can do to improve quality, how to improve testing. Some of it's about improving testing mindset on the team. I don't have the talks in front of me. I read them earlier today, but it's, you know, what I'm going to say is it's not a lot different from the talks I saw at Agile Testing 5, 6, 7 years ago. So I'm just curious, why do you think that's not changing? Why do you think that's not, I'm not going to use shift left, not going to use shift left. Why do you think that's not drifting across the chasm on the diffusion of innovation? Or am I wrong?
I think you have a subject, you have a selection bias.
Ah,
right.
Talk to me more.
So crossing the chasm. So as you mentioned, this is one of the better test conferences out there. I would say, right, anything from the Ministry of Testing is another one. So the best, let's just say this is the best testing conference, right? Let's say the industry as a whole has made a transition, okay? I argue that the best testing conference will be the last one to die, right? So in here, I'd be more interested in looking at, okay, has the rate of testing conferences worldwide over the last several years gone up, gone down, stayed flat, right? That sort of thing. Like something like Agile Testing Days, that's probably going to be one of the last ones to go, right? And they're going to continue to talk to their audience, which is still dedicated testers.
Yeah. Right? Yeah.
But if we, as the migration towards non-dedicated testers continues over time, there's going to be fewer people in that role. They're going to be mostly developers, and that content's going to show up in developer-centric content. And you're going to see the popularity for these test conferences fall, right? They're not going to be able to sell enough tickets to support the conference.
Yeah, maybe you're right. Okay. Well,
I mean, I see some things in here, right? There's some things in here that are absolutely. Do you remember what year it was where you asked me to come in and present to Unity?
Oh, yeah. That would have been November 2017.
Okay. I see a talk. Refactoring your end-to-end tests from an ice cone to a pyramid. And I'm like, yeah, I saw Alan present that same freaking talk.
That was Marcelo. Marcelo on my team presented that. He's okay. He's left Unity. He is back at ThoughtWorks, but cool guy.
But it's right next to another one called Embracing Home Team Quality, Making Myself Obsolete, which to me feels
that's very MT. And actually that one wouldn't have been there 6 or 7 years ago. So
no.
And actually, I want to touch on that a lot. I think, you know, I see so many, and I still haven't done, it's not going to be my post tomorrow, but someday I'm going to write about this. So many posts I see on LinkedIn as I go there talking about how unique and special testing is because it requires creativity and autonomy, as Peter Drucker would have told you 80 million years ago, all knowledge work does. Okay, 50 years ago, whenever that was.
Right.
So one thing that I think all knowledge work is about making yourself obsolete. And I don't think enough people in, I'm going to call them traditional test roles, think that that's as critical. I think it's the opposite. They want to make themselves more important. And I have as long, now because I'm old and I have less ability to remember, as long as I can remember, I've tried to make myself obsolete. And maybe it's not even that I've tried to make myself obsolete. By doing the things I do, I've made myself obsolete. So I just think maybe that's the eighth principle. It's not, but it's a critical thing that we have to do.
No, it's the thing is, and I think about the series we've done on GPT. The thing is,
we almost made it a whole episode without talking at all about AI.
There was no way because I have already loaded up the next topic on this one. But without the words GPT, I completely agree. Right. There is because what you and I have learned is as we pursue obsolescence, that we learn new skills that enables us to even become more valuable than the things we're leaving behind.
Yes. Right? Yes.
In terms of the world where GPT exists, like it really is the same way. The whatever happens as we move forward with these potentially very beneficial or very terrifying AI systems, right? Really, it's always going to be the case that human plus AI outperforms human or AI alone.
And this is the way I like to put it now. AI is not taking your job away. People who know how to use AI, however, will.
Yes. Yes, that's absolutely the case. Number one, I don't know if you saw, first off, just on a tangent, I don't know if you saw this. We can't screen share on this stupid app. But one of the talks is building an awesome character sheet for agile teams, right? And I'm totally thinking of your Warcraft model for teams.
Yeah, so, character sheet is different than the Warcraft model of project management. So,
but you want to have you need your barbarian, you need your cleric. Right,
you do. You need to balance it. And that's, it's like when when you're building a team, if you have four headcount, you might have one job description for all of them, but when you hire the first one, maybe it has to you change a little bit what you're looking for in the other three. Every time you get to that last one, you're actually being kind a lot more specific about what you need because you know what gaps remain. It's puzzle building. It's fun,
right?
It's building the right party, or you could even call it like in Warcraft or any of those games, it's coming up with the right skill tree to balance your attack even on a single character.
Yes, completely agree. One of the things the other thing I'll say around AI is so far I have found at least two talks at Agile Testing Days around this concept talked about. Like one of them is titled 10 Times Software Testing. However, you dig into it and the mission is incorporating AI into our software testing workflows has significantly improved our processes, leading to faster and higher quality results.
That sounds like a great talk. And I expect every single talk of that conference to be good. I always look at the talks that are happening there. And again, why I started this conversation is maybe in hindsight, some of them are more on the MT side than I thought in my first pass. I think that AI one's definitely one too. I want more companies to be less afraid to leap the chasm and not, again, the goal isn't to get rid of your testers. The goal is to improve the way you ship, the way you deliver software so much that you need fewer dedicated testers, dedicated specialists.
Totally agree. And actually, like this AI trend, I absolutely adore. Like there's another one that's a workshop. Like you used to do workshops.
Right? I did.
This is a workshop where two guys are going to guide people through training an AI model and even using the basic scoring mechanisms that we generally use in data science. Like I have gone through and had GPT write unit tests. Like if I don't know if you've coded recently, but the GitHub Copilot is fantastic.
I haven't played with it, but I've been meaning to. I'm going to write some code this weekend, but not anything significant. So not even going to the project. So I will want to play with that. All right, man. Well, that is good stuff. And this is stuff that, again, we would appreciate your input on. Do we talk about, we talked about testing a little bit. All right.
I'm waiting. We'll see.
Waiting.
Ah, damn
for
it.
For AI like you.
I asked GPT to give me the number of worldwide test conferences in the last 10 years.
Okay.
And
it told you my cutoff is in 2019 or wherever.
It's 2021, but yeah. No, it said, no, I don't have the ability to do that. And then it gave me some random link to IEEE conferences.
Just tell it it was stupid. Like be
I will
like,
now.
Like, really
you
bully it. What happens? What happens when you? The thing is, it doesn't care when you bully it. It just apologizes.
No, it'll probably tell me I'm done with this conversation.
Okay, oh. Brent, do you know what episode this has been?
183.
Yeah, because it's in the title of our Zencastr link. All right, everybody, we are going to call it good, but please engage with us online and we will, you know, think about replying. No, we'll reply. Or somebody else will. Somebody will. Somebody will talk to you.
There'll be a reply.
Maybe it's AI. Who knows?
Yeah, really.
All right, I'm Alan.
I'm Brent.
We'll see you next time.
Bye.